We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Today I'm speaking with Tejas Borewala, an owner of a top 40 team in the 10,000 team plus field in the Football Guys Players Championship, a contest that will pay out well over $3 million, including $500,000 to first place alone. In this episode, we discuss why he was on Team Higbee this season, how he sees the Cowboys receivers 2020 seasons playing out, whether you should be flexing out Jeff Wilson in week 4, and more. Vadawala's career winnings in the FFPC total more than $120,000. Before we get into the show, I do want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners only 30% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local spot, and your food is on its way. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off, zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off your and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's BLUEWIRE for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Like me, trying to watch my Green Bay Packers go 16-0, hopefully capping off the season with a Lombardi Trophy. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now, without further ado, here is $120,000 high-stakes fantasy football winner, Tejas Badiwala. Ringing in the month of October, an old friend of not only the RotoViz high-stakes lowdown, but of the high-stakes fantasy football hour, former national world-famous FFPC playoff challenge champion. Done pretty good in that contest and doing some pretty good work in others this year. Tejas Badiwala. Tej, what's up, man?
Hey, nothing much, Balky. Just excited to be on this and can't wait to see what week four brings in the NFL.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend, for sure. I am definitely in on that. And to really capture the listener's ear here to kick things off, I want to talk about one of the most hard-hitting topics out there this week, and that's Jets-Broncos. Thursday night football. Sam Darnold versus Brett Rippon, apparently. So I guess this is kind of the conundrum that high-stakes owners have to face. You know, we've seen Melvin Gordon deployed. We've seen Jerry Jeudy deployed. Noah Fant, obviously, is a popular choice among tight ends for the high-stakes players this year. Jets defense is not good. But Brett Rippon, it was announced today that he's actually going to be starting for the Denver Broncos. So knowing that the matchup's great, the quarterback's not, how are you handling your Broncos in your lineups? Or do you even have to make this call? I mean, are you sans Denver Broncos this year?
It's incredible that 31 teams collectively passed on signing Cam. And the Broncos not starting Brett Rippon. But I wouldn't be surprised to see both teams move the ball. The Broncos defense is practically on IR, and Rippon is a young, inexperienced quarterback, so he should lean heavily on Fant and Melvin Gordon in the passing game. So I'll be starting both of them everywhere I possibly can. I'm a little weary of Jeudy and Hamler, but it's a war of attrition right now, last man standing at every position. So it's possible that Jeudy ends up in some of my lineups. I'm not expecting much from him, but you know, this could be a little bit of a shootout Thursday night, which would be a great surprise.
Yeah, it definitely would. I mean, I was surprised at the Dolphins Broncos game, Dolphins Jaguars game this past Thursday. Just from the standpoint, I expected more from Minshew. Like I thought he would go off more against that Miami defense, and didn't necessarily happen. But it was fun watching James Robinson. These Thursday night games this year, that it's not like your father's Thursday night games. I think you're right. I think we're going to see some interesting stuff this coming Thursday, and we'll see what the future holds as well for these Thursday nighters. Okay, so you have a top 40 team in the Football Guys Players Championship right now, and I want to specifically talk about that one. I'm trying to think of a more polarizing player in the drafting season than Tyler Higbee. And I know you were very active on Twitter talking, having this conversation with a lot of people. You either were Team Higbee or you weren't. In this draft, you clearly were Team Higbee. Why did the pros outweigh the cons of drafting Tyler Higbee for you this season, Tej?
Yeah, great question. I really liked what I saw from Higbee last season, specifically towards the tail end. And I know some of the pseudo experts said Everett was the tight end to own, and Higbee faced the lowest ranked defenses against the tight end, during his monster run last season. But you play who you play, and he dominated. It's not like it was the Eagles playing against the NFC East where every coach was about to be fired. But if you follow the tea leaves and listen to Coach McVay, he basically stated that outside of specific matchups where Higbee will be needed as an additional inline blocker and 12 personnel, that he'll be a huge part of the game plan. So without a solid running back option, the Rams, you know, they need to rely on Woods and Higbee and Kupp in the red zone. So hope he gets a few touchdowns against the G-men this week, but I was always high on what I saw from him. And at the tight end position, I mean, you're really talking about a handful of guys that you feel could break out This year, for me, it was always Fant and Higbee that I was trying to target in every draft.
Who did you end up with more, just curiously, between Fant and Higbee, or is it about a horse apiece between those two?
Early on, it was Fant because his value was just so incredible. I mean, you're talking about he was going somewhere between the 9th, sometimes I got him in the 10th round. And Higbee, anytime he fell to the 6th, I was definitely going to pick him up, regardless if that was 6-4 to 6-12. Sometimes I got him in the 7th as well. But you have to read the draft as well. When tight ends were going extremely fast, there were a couple spots I had to get Higbee end of 5th.
I know you play Dynasty as well, and these two Iowa tight ends are basically going to be joined at the hip for their entire careers. Who has the better Dynasty career? Who would you rather have in Dynasty right now? Is it TJ Hockenson or is it Noah Fant?
That's a great question. I thought you were going to ask me about Denver's other rookie tight end that they drafted, but I was
going to... Oh, Albert O. Yeah, we could throw him in there as well.
No, so I think they're both going to have great careers. I love Hockenson. I'm really excited to see that he's more part of the game this year. He's put on some muscle. He's understanding the playbook a little bit better. And for him, it's always about staying healthy. And then moving forward, obviously, it's going to be contingent upon how well Drew Lock or whoever John Elway ends up with a quarterback for the Broncos does and their connection with Fant. But both look phenomenal this season. So I'm really excited about early returns on them.
Yeah, I was nervous about both those tight ends last year. Not so nervous about either one of them going forward this year, and I own a decent number of each of them in Dynasty League, so we'll see what happens there. Let's move the conversation down south to Big D in Dallas. You made CeeDee Lamb your 10th round pick in this specific draft. We have now 3 weeks of information on these Dallas receivers. Do you have any more clarity, Tage, on how the remainder of the season is going to be going for not only Lamb, but Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup as well, than you did at the start of the year?
I wish I had a crystal ball on this, but it's really a toss-up. I mean, every game is going to feature one of them, but there's enough to go around. I love Lamb in the slot against any team slot corner. I mean, he's going to eat, and Dallas' defense makes all three wide receivers extremely valuable and viable plays week in and week out. It's possible that all three eclipse 1,000 receiving yards, and Dak just goes on to have some historical 5,000-yard passing season. So I'm really excited to own them. I would say, you know, if I had to bet right now, Amari Cooper will still end up leading that pack, but you never know with injuries and the way they're happening this season, it could end up being Lamb as well. And now Wilson's in the mix, so it's, yeah. It's a little tricky.
Well, and that's not even mentioned. I mean, think about how many passes Ezekiel Elliott caught last year. And then I was going to ask you if you ended up with Dalton Schultz off the waiver wire in any of your leagues this past week.
I did. I'm so glad I got him in a few dynasty teams where I was a little thin at tight end. People weren't going that heavy on him. But again, I really liked what I saw from him, even though it was against Seattle and it was a pretty easy matchup. And that was going to be a shootout the week prior to that as well. You know, against the Falcons, Schultz had an incredible game. He was the highest targeted Cowboy there was on offense. But I mean, he looks fast, and he's doing some great things after the catch as well. Some of his routes are run properly. So I'm excited to see what he can do down the line this season, and he's a Stanford product. So they produce some pretty good tight ends.
It's going to be interesting. At the end of the season, we might be talking about how many shares of the Dallas offense did you have, because that might determine how well you did in your league. There's a lot of electric playmakers down there. The offensive line is pretty solid, and then when you – look at the defense, you can kind of see that the weaknesses there where they could be involved in a lot of shootouts going forward. And they have been already. So I think you're right. I think you're dead on with potentially 3,000-yard receivers. I think Schultz is going to have a big remainder of 2022. And obviously, as well, I should say, not two. And then Dak Prescott, too, obviously, is going to have a big year. Came off a big year last year. Could be even bigger in 2020. At that quarterback position, keeping the conversation there, Russell Wilson was your selection at 904. He's obviously been unbelievable this year. There's no insightful question I have on him. That was a great pick by you. But if we go a little bit deeper, if we were redrafting today, how high would you take those two receivers of his, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, in high-stakes drafts?
Oh, man, I would love to stack Wilson with Lockett and Metcalf. It's still early, but Lockett I'd peg in the 3rd round. Same with Metcalf. Obviously, I wouldn't be able to get them both unless I was drafting at the tail end and I could take them back-to-back. But I would definitely be taking Lockett above certain receivers or running backs that were constantly going in the third, and then Metcalf probably right after Lockett in the third as well. So we'll have to see how healthy they are towards the end of the season. There were some concerns with Lockett regarding his health and whether he was going to opt out or not. I know a lot of people were talking about that, but really glad to see everything he's been able to do with Russ, and that they're letting Russ cook. And Carson, you know, obviously is always kind of on the injury prone side. I know a lot of people loved his value this year, and so did I, but we'll see what the next couple weeks hold without him in the lineup. Hyde should be a formidable backup, but it looks like Wilson's going to be involved in a couple more shootouts here. So Lockett and Metcalf's value are just extremely high right now.
I'm just wondering what changed in the philosophy in Seattle, because they had these playmakers before. You know, they've always had Russell Wilson there, and it seemed like for three quarters they would just, you know, let the running back slam into the backs of the offensive linemen and be in a 17-16 game in the fourth quarter, and then Wilson, they'd say, okay, Russ, go out and win us this game, and then he'd crush it in the fourth quarter and put up these monster stats. What do you think the philosophy change was in Seattle this year? Did they, after years of doing it the same way, did they just come to the realization, like, we have one of the best quarterbacks in pro football, we have playmakers on the outside that can make plays, what are we doing here? I'm just wondering why now, why this year? Because anybody who predicted that this would be the change, like you, is going to be handsomely rewarded as long as everybody stays healthy.
Yeah, great question. I think it's threefold. I think one is that the NFL is a passing game. It's wide open now, and I think that, you know, defenses are struggling to keep up with offenses, and that's pretty shocking to see in the early on season. But I think it's more along the lines that Seattle's offensive line has improved. Their defense, specifically their secondary outside of the acquisition of Adams, has been, let's say, it's been torn apart a little bit. So it's a lot weaker than it was in previous seasons, where they could just rely on Russ being a game manager and winning them the game in the fourth quarter. So it's a combination of really looking at the nature of the NFL being a passing game, Russ just being incredible, the weapons they have on the outside now with Metcalf stretching the field, and then also just their defense not being as strong as it used to be. Whatever it may be, I'm just glad that Pete Carroll has really taken this route, and Russ is on some historical phenomenal run as well, and hopefully he gets his first MVP. It's crazy that he hasn't had one MVP vote yet in his career, and you're talking about one of the most decorated, most incredible, most accurate quarterbacks of all time.
And a guy who's won a Super Bowl too. I mean, he's basically done it all outside of that. You're right. And I'm counting my lucky stars for every team I have a share of that Seattle passing game on, with, you know, be it Wilson or Lockett or Carson or Metcalf or any of those guys. They are going to be fun to watch this year for sure. They already have been. So talking about rostering, or having a lot of rosters, having a lot of leagues, having a lot of teams to manage, I know this is the case with you. Of all the players that you own in your leagues this year, where you own a lot of them, you know, whether you went heavy on certain players or not, who has been sort of the home run of the guy you loaded up on, and then maybe a player that you loaded up on, but you wish you were underweight on because he's been underperforming so far?
Yeah, so DeAndre Hopkins has been a stud. I never bought into the narrative of a new team means less time to form chemistry and understand the system, equating to lower target share and volume. And obviously, Calvin Ridley, a lot of people had pegged to be this year's version of Chris Godwin. I'm really happy, you know, what I see from Ridley and that entire Atlanta offense, being that their defense is just completely decimated, and every game is going to be a shootout for them, or at least teams are going to be able to come back on them. So there'll be a lot of volume share for Ridley as well. It looks like he might have even surpassed Julio at this point in that offense. So love the fact that I was pretty high on Hopkins and Ridley across the board. Right now, it seems like I was wrong on Lamar. And that's tough to say, but based off what I saw last night, and, you know, Lamar can say that Kansas City is his kryptonite, but he really isn't going to be in situations where he's trailing from behind. They're most likely going to blow out every single team they face aside from Kansas City, and they're not going to be playing catch up. And that's huge in fantasy football when you have those second half garbage time point opportunities, Or there's a perfect game script where it's just a shootout. Now, against Baltimore's defense, you're not going to see that much. And the way the Ravens can run the ball, Lamar is not going to probably surpass his passing statistics from last season. So I was wrong on Lamar. I'd much rather have Cam in the 13th or 14th round than Lamar in the third.
Yeah, so Newton, you're a believer in Newton, like what he's done so far in New England. You think he's going to keep this up the rest of the way? This isn't just some sort of, you know, like catching everybody off guard early on in the season. This that we are seeing vintage Cam Newton this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a tough game this week against Kansas City in Kansas City. But yeah, I'm super happy for what I've seen in Cam. Obviously, you know, he was an integral part of Herschel and I winning the FFPC playoff challenge as he was our starting quarterback. So he's always a near and dear favorite to me. But I'm just glad he finally got a chance again. He's been banged up. And, you know, he looks incredible in New England. And who better to be coached by than Belichick and Coach McDaniels as well. So really happy to see Cam flourishing in that offense. And he's on a mission. He's on a revenge tour. He's got a one-year contract. He got lowballed. I think he's going to ball out. I think he's going to stay healthy. And can't wait to see what type of contract he gets in the offseason.
Yeah, that will be something to watch for sure. Maybe it comes in New England too. I mean, I don't really know what's going to happen there. You know, I read some story today. Somebody asked him, and I just read the headline, which I know is like the worst thing to do because you never understand the context of the story then. But it was something to the effect of, why didn't he bring his family up to Massachusetts where he's playing his home games? And he said, oh, this is just a business trip for me. And to me, that suggests like, okay, well, you know, maybe he's not long for New England. You know, he's going to build his stock up there and then sign like a 4 or 5 year deal or something with somebody else. I don't know. You think he's going back in New England next year if this keeps up?
I do. I think he'll eventually end up being loyal to the team that was loyal to him, even though it took a long while for New England to pull the trigger. I think Cam will have a wonderful opportunity moving forward in his career just to be coached by, again, you know, Belichick and McDaniels. So Cam obviously could end up in a situation that's not as positive, and then he could regress, but I hope to see him in New England, and I hope they surround him with some additional weapons at the receiver position. I know Edelman is an incredible player in the slot, but they definitely need to upgrade tight end and then across the board at receiver as well. But that division is going to be tight, obviously, with Buffalo tremendously improving. Allen has just been incredible. I saw some crazy statistic about Allen in his last X amount of games. He has 33 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions.
Wow.
That guy is really pushing for the MVP as well this season. So a lot of great quarterback play across the league. But, yeah, I think when it's all said and done, Cam ends up potentially in New England. I read the same article that he hasn't moved his family up there. That was a little concerning for the future of his play in New England. But let's see where he ends up. You know, he's at the point of his career where he could just play somewhere that he just loves to live, right, and his family lives. So it could be anywhere in Southern California. It could be wherever he feels he's most welcomed. So,
yeah, and the other thing too is think about what it would be like in New England. You let Tom Brady get away, and then Cam Newton has this big resurgent career. Are they really going to let him get away too? I don't know. And I know Bill Belichick doesn't care about the fans. He's going to do what he does, but certainly that would be an interesting storyline to follow had it gets there. But we have much more of 2020 to talk about before we get there. And 2020 has been, so far, some pretty big injuries. And we saw another one this week at the tight end position. Dallas Goedert ends up fracturing his ankle, originally called a sprain. Now it looks like he's going to miss some serious time. And with bye weeks coming up, it's going to be tough to roster all these hurt players. Is this a guy that you have to find a way to keep for the fantasy home stretch, Tage, or if push comes to shove, would you be willing to let him go?
Push comes to shove, I hope there's another option that pops up similar to like Schultz. Maybe some people drop Sample and Sample pops up back on the radar and I can pick him up for cheap. But unfortunately, being that it's a tight end premium league, most likely going to have to hold on to Goedert. And you know, hopefully, again, there's an option that pops up in the interim, but his fracture is pretty minor, and it's possibly he'll be back to full strength in 6 weeks is what I've been reading. So I'll most likely hold on to him, and it'll also be interesting to see what Philly does with Ertz prior to the deadline. A lot will have to do with how quickly Goedert heals. So as you know, Ertz hasn't signed his extension. He's apparently got into a shouting match with Roseman right before the season, and it doesn't look like he's in the long-term plans with Philly. So Goeder could be an integral part down the line.
Yeah, well, I'm I know New England drafted the two tight ends this year, but I mean, wouldn't that be such a New England move where, you know, Philly can't pawn Ertz off on anybody and New England gets Zach Ertz and then he gets to catch passes from Cam Newton and be like the new Greg Olsen in that New England, or that new Rob Gronkowski in that New England uniform. That would be interesting to watch too. Like you said, we'll see what happens there. But for right now, some good short-term value on Zach Ertz, especially for people who draft him as the third or fourth tight end off the board. The Niners are actually going to be taking on those Eagles this week. Now, San Francisco played the New York Giants last week, and Jerick McKinnon played pretty well, got a little dinged up, opened the door sort of for Jeff Wilson towards the end of the game, and then Jeff Wilson ends up catching and running in a touchdown. So knowing that the Eagles' defense hasn't exactly been a bunch of world beaters this year, does Jeff Wilson make for another good flex option this week?
Absolutely. I think Mostert rests one more week. I don't think they need him this week to beat the Eagles. As you mentioned, McKinnon is banged up. And Wilson has a nose for the end zone. So the Eagles' run D is pretty solid, but Shanahan does a great job with formations and play calling. I like that Wilson was involved in the passing game as well. So I'm starting Wilson everywhere I need to. And I'm kind of kicking myself last week that I didn't start Robinson over Kareem Hunt, even though Kareem Hunt's been wonderful this season. But I think you mentioned that top 40 team, I did have James Robinson and his 30 points on my bench. So I'll be making the same mistake with Wilson. I'm going with the matchup here.
I've been so beat up at running back this season. I didn't have much, in my Robinson leagues, I had to end up playing him. You know, it's just one of those things where I didn't really have another good option. Like Kareem Hunt, I would have loved to have Kareem Hunt instead of him. Just talking about Robinson for a little bit, as long as he stays healthy, he's the guy there all season, right? In Jacksonville. I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes to the draft next year. But Robinson, as long as he's healthy, the way he's performing and the effort he's giving, you got to believe that dude's locked into 15 to 20 touches a game, every game the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, 100%. He's the guy. I think the coaching staff has a lot of trust in him. He's a phenomenal pass blocker, really good in the pass game as well. Smart, tough, a lot of yards after first contact. Shifty, can cut on a dime. Really like what I see from Robinson. Just shocked that he was not drafted by any NFL team. And even more shocked that you spend the fourth pick in the draft of Fournette and you end up cutting him for an undrafted rookie free agent. But he's definitely proven his worth there, and I think Minshew has a lot of trust in him. The coaching staff will definitely be moving forward featuring him.
Now, this so full disclosure here, Tej and I are recording this podcast here on Tuesday evening, and by the time this comes out on Thursday, we might get some more clarity on the COVID situation with the Titans and with the Vikings. But Tuesday afternoon, as everybody knows, three players, five coaches test positive, for the COVID-19 among the Titans. They immediately shut down workouts until Saturday. The Vikings left their practice facility as well. Steelers and Titans, do play in game four. And obviously that's the big one that everybody wants to talk about. We can talk about the Vikings game as well as they take on the Texans, but for your waivers this week, Tej, I mean, how big of an adjustment is that going to be knowing that these guys could miss, you know, these four teams could miss this week? That it might be rescheduled later in the season. We don't really know what's going to happen, but this is a headache that gets thrown in. And what's your strategy going to be trying to capitalize on this and making sure all your bases are covered?
Yeah, I'm looking at that tonight during the debate as well. We'll have to ensure every single team has a kicker. I have Gaskowski on a few teams. I have to have backup defenses now, and anywhere Big Ben or Tanny are my quarterbacks. Unfortunately, I have to pick up another, perhaps Fitzmagic. Definitely need to be looking over that tonight. As you know, I have a lot of teams, so I always start that process. Basically, after I see the results after Monday Night Football, I start doing waivers, complete as many as I possibly can. But Tuesday night heading into Wednesday are really critical for me. So, it's not shocking to see what happened. Obviously we're going to have to go through this as we head into the winter as well, and on larger numbers, I'm assuming. But hopefully everything's all right. And, I was reading that maybe the game, worst case scenario, gets pushed to Monday night. But I definitely will be having a backup just in case.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, the fact I saw Adam Schefter's tweet, and if that is worst case scenario, to me, that's like, you know, whatever, man, we get an extra doubleheader, Monday Night Football doubleheader. I'm totally down for that. And if that's the worst case, then I think we're going to be A-okay on that. All right, so moving on, your waiver priority bids this week. We don't have like a Mike Davis guy, you know, player out there. We don't have, I mean, Deion Lewis is obviously kind of a bust, but James Robinson was a big guy off the waiver wire a couple of weeks ago. Nobody really liked that this week that I'm seeing. Who are the couple of guys that you're really going to target or have been targeting so far when you've been placing bids?
Yeah, just spoke about a few, actually. So Jeff Wilson's available in some of the leagues that I'm looking at. Would love to pick him up. Also Fitzmagic, his matchup against Seattle is incredible. And I think some others include Burkhead, wherever he's available as well. Last week it was obviously Indianapolis, but unfortunately I got sniped multiple places and had to face off against Indy, specifically in the main event, which was a bummer last week for me. I had three undefeated teams. None of them are undefeated anymore, and I'm looking up in the standings, so I'm like, I got to win these weeks. So I was really looking forward to finding a defense. Was actually thinking about Denver versus the Jets, but the more I look at it, how many players are out for Denver and how decimated they are across the board, not only on the defensive line but in the secondary, I definitely think the Jets can move the ball against Denver this week. So most likely it's going to be Fitzpatrick, Jeff Wilson, Burkhead, just to name a few.
Yeah, so like just looking at Burkhead, this is a guy, it's obviously the three touchdowns were huge. I mean, that was massive. But like going forward, I always think it's so difficult to project New England running backs, you know, especially when James White gets back into the fold. Sony Michel, you know, channeled Georgia Sony Michel this past week. That came out of nowhere. I didn't understand that. But I, you know, just looking at it from the New England perspective, is Burkhead just simply going to be added to your roster and you just throw him in and hope for like 10 points in a bye week? Because I just never know when he's going to blow up like he did this week or when he's not.
Yeah, it's really a short-term fix. Obviously, the tragic news for James White, and obviously we're all praying for his family. But, you know, I think with White being out and being such an integral part of the passing game, Burkhead will just be plugged in. And anybody who's receiving – you know, dump offs from Cam is all right in my book, especially around the red zone. So I think Burkhead will have a couple more solid games. His floor is somewhere between, you know, 10 to 11 points, and maybe he hits his ceiling again like he did this past week. Not as high, but maybe he hits up to like 17, 18 points. So looking forward to see what he can do over the next couple weeks as they ease White back in.
It would just be such a 2020 thing for Burkhead to have back-to-back three touchdown games, wouldn't it? I would love to see it. I would love to see it and hate to see it at exactly the same time. Tej, you've been very gracious with your time tonight. I want to let you go because I know you got bids to place. Last question before I do. A sleeper that needs to be in high-stakes lineups for this week. Maybe it's Burkhead. And then as well as a guy that you think that a lot of people will start, but is more likely to bust and disappoint owners in week four.
Yeah, a couple. I'm looking at that Atlanta matchup against the Packers. And I know obviously no one on Atlanta's backfield is Alvin Kamara, but I do like what I've seen from Brian Hill. He's another guy that will be on my waivers, but I do think he'll be a sleeper this week. Other guys include some pretty big names. OBJ, who I've been benching across the board as many places as I possibly can. They get a great matchup against the Cowboys, which should be a shootout as well. So OBJ will be in my lineups. I think he'll have a really good week. Devontae Parker with Miami facing the Seahawks. And then Buss. You know, Jonathan Taylor has been great so far this season. Really like what I've seen from him and really happy I have him on a lot of teams. But I think Taylor's going to run into a pretty tough situation this week in Chicago. And then Cam as well. Unfortunately, I really like what I saw from Kansas City's defense. You know, no one is Lamar Jackson, but Cam is a pretty similar quarterback when it comes to being mobile, being able to move the pocket and utilize his legs to keep the, you know, keep the chains moving, pick up first downs. But I think he's going to have a tough game this week in Kansas City. So I might find him on my bench everywhere I own him.
Backtracking to that Brian Hill call, I'll tell you this too. The Packers on that Sunday night game against New Orleans lost their big stud inside linebacker Christian Kirksey for several weeks. He is for sure not going to be playing in Atlanta with, I think it was a shoulder injury. And now incoming is Ty Summers, a seventh round pick last year, I want to say, out of BYU. Limited smart guy, limited athleticism. And then on the other side, you might have Chris Barnes, the undrafted free agent from UCLA, who's made a few plays, but again, undrafted rookie free agent. They think about how New Orleans attacked those Packers linebackers. It wasn't between the tackles like how Atlanta's been using Todd Gurley. It's been on the perimeter. It was with the swing passes. It was getting the players in the space, and that has been the Brian Hill role so far in Atlanta this year. So you might end up. I mean, if desperation calls, Brian Hill sneaking in at flex. You might actually have a pretty decent game, especially when you consider the Packers are 7-point favorites. Falcons might be throwing to catch up in this game. What a novel idea that would be. Normally it's Atlanta that gets up by 15, 20 points, and then the other team throws back into the game, and then they win the game. Been an incredible 2020 for Atlanta, and I don't mean in the good way. This podcast was incredible, and I do mean in the good way. Tejas Badawala, so good to talk to you again. Congratulations on all of your success so far in these leagues. Good luck the rest of the way. You got some good chances in the main event, some pretty good teams there. And then obviously this top 40 team in football, guys, too. And I know that's not your only dominant threat there, too. So best of luck to you, man. Thank you so much for joining the show this week.
Thanks, Bulky. It was a pleasure. Look forward to catching up soon.
Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme music. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz Radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think. And follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at BetOnline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE. All one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Nobody builds 5G like Verizon builds 5G, because we're the engineers who built the most reliable network in America. And the more you do with 5G, the more building it right matters. The more your network matters. The more Verizon engineers going the extra mile matters. It's us pushing us. It's Verizon versus Verizon. 5G built right from America's most reliable network. Most reliable based on rankings from RootMetrics second half 2020 U.S. report of 3 mobile networks. Results may vary. Award is not an endorsement.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.